So on Wednesday, we're doing Doctor's Opinion. And yesterday, we did the how and why of it. We did on the third step, and we looked at the instincts of life. If any of you don't have this handout, I have them here. I suggest you get it and look at it, because this is the whole disease of alcoholism. And we'll be doing the third step promises and the third step prayer next Saturday. Before I begin, I'm going to ask God to set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, the big book, recovery, what's best for me, what's best for others, especially let go of all my old ideas so I can live in your truth. Amen. Amen. Now, tonight, we are on working with others, and we're going to finish. We're going to finish this chapter, and I hate to say it, but it took us almost a year and a half to finish the first 102 pages. I don't know, we did a lot, and we did a lot of the steps we took and carry this message and drop the rock, and so we did a pretty thorough. So if you go on the site and you push Sunday and you go back to the beginning, you can go through the whole book. Because this is the end of the specific directions on recovery. And then next week, I haven't decided yet whether we're going to do chapter 12 and the steps we took, or I think we are. It's very good. Some of you have the book. If you do, bring it. If not, Patty will make copies, as long as I'm in, you know, good standing there at home. And it's powerful stuff. The steps we took is by Joe McHugh. He's dead now, but he did the Joe and Charlie talks, and his book is very simple and has excellent correlation with the big book. So that's where we go. And then after we do that, we're going to do Dr. Bob's story, which I haven't done before. We're going to do Acceptance is the Answer, the Dr. Alcoholic Addict story, and I think we'll do Keys of the Kingdom. Those three stories have meant a lot to me. And we're also going to do the principles in the lost chapters. The chapters to wives, employers, family afterwards, we're gonna look at the principles that are in there. There's a handout I found from Dave Frederick on Fellowship of the Spirit, and he has all the pages, and we'll look at those principles. We've done that before. It's good stuff. So that's the plan on Sunday nights, and we're going to turn to the bottom of the page. Now, we've come to the part of the book now where we've talked about all the steps.
Which page?
Page 100. And we've thanks, Jimmy. We've covered all the steps. We've looked at working with others, how they worked with people. The whole book is the principles that we practice in all of our affairs, and we're going to be looking at that in the next few chapters when we go through the principles. And now we're coming to the conclusion of this whole testimony. And now they're going to talk about being around alcohol and the alcoholic mind. And then they're going to talk about our purpose, what our purpose is. And so we're going to look at, it says, assuming we are spiritually fit. Now, that's a big assumption. Mm-hmm. Now, being spiritually fit must be important. And then you can ask yourself, what does spiritually fit means? Well, I think what they're talking about here is what they talk about on page 85, that how we react if we're in fit spiritual condition, then we can see the truth about alcohol. Alcohol isn't dominating our lives. Remember, the problem has been removed. And if we're in fit spiritual condition, we react differently than we used to. And that means that we have a power in our life and a relationship with our Creator. It says we could do all sorts of things alcoholics are not supposed to do. People have said we must not go where liquor is served. We must not have it in our homes. We must shun friends who drink. We must avoid moving pictures which show drinking scenes. We must not go into bars. Our friends must hide their bottles if we go to their houses. We mustn't think or be reminded about alcohol at all. Our experience, and that's what this whole book is, shows that this is not necessarily so. See, people think alcohol is just going to jump right out at us, you know, and attack us, but they don't. And they are right. If you have an alcoholic mind, which he's going to talk about, that might not be a good thing. So he says we meet these conditions every day. Just as an aside, Dr. Bob met Bill in May of 1935. by the middle of June, first week of June, they had been together for 3 weeks, and Dr. Bob wanted to go to the AA convention. And Dr. Bob's wife, Lois, told Bill that that was probably not a good idea, because he got very drunk every time he went, and she didn't think it was a good idea. So Bill said, you have to live in the world. You know, you can't keep him from alcohol. Of course, he did get drunk, but he came back, and then he sobered up, and then he operated on June 10th, 1935, and then he made amends, and we're here today. That's the beginning of notice that they call AA's Founders Day, June 10th, 1935. And then it says, we meet these conditions every day. Anybody watch TV? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there are commercials all the time. An alcoholic who cannot meet them still has an alcoholic mind. Now, this is really an important thing. If you have an alcoholic mind, it means that you still see alcohol as something that has attraction to you. It means you still see it as something that might make your life better. You still don't have a power in your life to say no to it. And you can't see it and say, bad idea. And if you still have an alcoholic mind, it's dangerous when you're around alcohol. And an alcoholic mind is someone who is not in fit spiritual condition. An alcoholic mind is not a state that we achieve and we stay there. It's something that we get by doing the steps, and then by keep working the steps, we stay fit spiritually. Remember, we have a daily reprieve from alcohol. Reprieve means a stay of execution each day based upon our spiritual condition. So if you're doing the deal, you're praying to God, you're working the steps, you're talking to your sponsor, you're going to meetings, then you should not be having an alcoholic mind. And so it says there is something the matter with his spiritual status. And what is the matter with your spiritual status? You haven't achieved that relationship with your higher power. And his only chance for sobriety would be someplace like the Greenland ice cap. I've been to Greenland, and you could buy booze there. But it wasn't the ice cap. Even there, an Eskimo might turn up with a bottle of scotch and ruin everything. Ask any woman who has sent her husband to distant places in the theory he could escape the alcohol problems. We've all made plans on how we were going to escape, right? Anybody have plans? Anybody else have a date when you were going to quit? A quit date? Anybody have that date when you were definitely going to quit? Mm-hmm. And then when you got to that day, you said, well, I don't need to do it today. Let's not overreact. In our belief, a scheme is to make plans in a devious way of combating alcoholism, which proposes the shield. The shield is a piece of armor. So you're going to put an armor around the sick man to shield him from temptation is doomed to failure. Now here's a key line. If the alcoholic tries to shield himself, now see, isn't that preposterous? That we would try to build a shield ourselves. Yeah. But we do that. You talk to new people, and they always have plans, and their plans are how they're going to shield themselves from alcohol. It says he may succeed for a time, but he usually winds up with a bigger explosion than ever. And remember, myself, I have no power. And that's the other thing about this line. By my own power, I can never shield myself from alcohol. Now, I've said this a lot. I'll say it again. I have no power not to drink today. I cannot choose not to drink today on my own, ever. And the only power I get not to drink today is from God. And so the choice I'm supposed to make every day is to choose to seek that which has the power. So if I seek God and God has the power, then I'll have the power through him. When I start thinking I have the choice, then I'm in trouble, right? It says, we have tried these methods, these attempts to do the impossible have always failed. Page 43, remember, it says, finally, once again, the alcoholic has no defense against the first drink. His defense must come from a higher power. So our rule is not to avoid a place where there's drinking if we have a legitimate reason for being there. Notice that's in squiggly writing. That includes bars, nightclubs, dances, receptions, wedding, and they had whoopee parties. I haven't been to one of those, I don't think. I may have been, but I don't remember it. To a person who has had experience with an alcoholic, this may seem like tempting providence, but it isn't. And people could speak about this afterwards. It says, you will note that an important qualification, therefore ask yourself, and the qualification is, are you in fit spiritual condition? And then the important qualification, do you have a legitimate reason for being there? Now remember, Bill, after his business deal went south in May 12th of 1935, he was in the lobby of the Mayflower Hotel. And he thought that it would be a good idea to go to the bar and listen to music. And he had no legitimate reason to be in the bar. And as he was going to the bar, he said, well, maybe he could have one drink. And then he froze, and it says terror gripped him because he understood that he was going down, his mind was going down that path. And then God said, find somebody to talk to. He turned away from the bar, and we're here today. It says, have I any good social business or personal reason for going to this place? Or am I expecting to steal a little vicarious pleasure? Vicarious is experienced through the imagination from the pleasure of such places. If you answer these questions satisfactorily, you need have no apprehension, which means fear. Go or stay away, whichever seems best. But here's the deal. Be sure you are on solid spiritual ground before you start, and that your motive in going is thoroughly good. And your motive should be that it has to be a motive of service. Are you going to be of service? And do not think of what you will get out of the occasion, think of what you will bring into it. Isn't that what we talk about all the time? What do I bring in every situation? Isn't that the St. Francis prayer? How do I be? Do I bring love, patience, kindness, tolerance, compassion, consideration? Or do I bring Michael and then get angry and resentful and fearful? Think of what you bring in it, but if you're shaky, you had better work with another alcoholic instead. Now, I've been on cruises where all the booze is free. And I won't even realize it till like, they're usually 2 week cruises, like the 10th day that, you know, everybody's, you know, it's free booze, you know. You just don't even notice it. And people can talk about that. I don't notice the beer commercials. The beer, I notice the commercial. It's not mean that I'm better than anybody else. It's just, it has no attraction for me anymore. I think there must be booze in my house, who knows? I haven't searched for it. My wife drinks wine. And so you get to a position of neutrality, it says on page 85. Safe and protected. And that's the way I feel today. But that's fragile. And I could lose that, but I have that today, and I'm really grateful for that. Why sit with a long face in places where there's drinking, sighing about the good old days? If it is a happy occasion, try to increase the pleasure of those there. If a business occasion, go and attend to your business enthusiastically. And I know a lot of new people, they're worried like when the holidays come, it's kind of scary. You're sober 30 days, you're going to places where you used to get hammered and cause a lot of problems, and there are also stressful family situations, unresolved conflicts. It's hard. Those are really hard. That's where you need to be connected with people and a sponsor and get good advice about what to do. If you're a person who wants to eat in a bar, by all means, go along. Now, remember, Jim wanted to sell a car, remember? And he, on a Tuesday morning, he didn't show up for work on Monday. And on Tuesday, he came in and had words with the boss. And then he thought he'd go sell a car in the country where they had a bar where he could have a good sandwich. Get the picture? And as he's sitting in the bar and he has his sandwich, he wanted a glass of milk. And then he said, suddenly the idea that if I mix booze with milk, it would be okay. And he says, I vaguely sensed that this was a bad idea. And then it said, thus is another trip to the asylum for Jim. And that's in the chapter more about alcoholism. But it says that the proper time and place, explain to your friends why alcohol disagrees with you. I don't know that you really need to give people an explanation. I remember once they were doing the toast of one of these cruises, and they had the little glass, and I didn't drink the glass, and the people at the table said, well, why won't you have that? You can have just a little bit. I said, well, You know, you're right. I probably could drink this, but I don't know if there's enough booze on the ship. And then the other thing is, I don't know if what'll happen. I have no idea what'll happen, but nothing good. So I said, I'll pass on the glass, and that seemed fine with them. Just I'm kind of off kilter tonight, you can tell. But on one of the cruises, I didn't drink. And this guy ate dinner with us quite a bit. And towards the last night, he says, you know, I haven't drank in 4 days. I said, well, wow. I said, well, if alcohol is a problem for you, let me know. I got a good book for you to read. And so you never know. You never know where you're going to meet people. It says, now you're getting back into the social life of this world. Don't start to withdraw again just because your friends drink liquor. Now here's the key couple paragraphs. That it's the way they end the steps in the book. It says, your job, my job now, is to be at the place where I may be of maximal helpfulness to others. Now remember, it says on step 3, and we read that, it says, I'm going to have a new employer. So who do we work for today?
God.
I don't work for anybody but God. And I have to play the role he assigns and do his work well, right? And then on page 77, if you would turn there, please. I quote this a lot. It's at the top of the page. It's talking about steps 8 and 9. And it says, at the moment, I'm trying to put, at the top of the page, to put my life in order. Now, how am I trying to put my life in order? I'm putting it in order with God, because God's going to be God, and I'm going to be his, he's going to be the Father, and I'm going to be the Son. He's going to be the director, and I'm going to be the actor. And I'm putting my life in order with my mind, so that I can see the truth about my thinking, my resentments, my anger, my fears. And then I'm putting my life in order with other people through the amend steps. It says, but this is not an end in itself. And this is a key line. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and the people around us, about us. Now, I used to say that my real purpose is to be of maximum service to God and the others. Right? But that's not what it says. I have to fit myself. That's my purpose. Because if I'm fit, then I will be of service to God and others. And the steps are how we stay fit, especially 10, 11, and 12. So now we'll go back to 102. It says, so never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. So your job should be to be helpful all the time. Wherever, if you go to work, home, whatever you're doing, look at it as an opportunity to be of service. It should not be hesitant to visit the most sordid spot on earth on such an errand. Keep on the firing line of life with these motives, and God will keep you unharmed. Wow. Now, the other thing is, if you're going into a difficult situation, I've had them, we all do. Paul was talking to me yesterday. I said, bring your coins, put them in your pocket. Bring your coins, that's God. You're carrying God with you. There's little things like you can do that remind yourself you're not alone anymore. You've got a power with you. And if your motives are good, God will keep you unharmed. And remember, our prayer every morning is, it says we're to make plans for the day, right? But before we begin, it says, what do? I ask God to direct my thinking, especially asking him to divorce it from selfish, dishonest, self-seeking motives. So my motive should always be God-directed. Remember, it says our vision each day we must carry is the vision of God's will for us. How can I serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. So this is the theme of the book, and they're finishing up with it now. Many of us keep liquor in our homes. We often need to carry green recruits to a severe hangover. Some of us still serve it to our friends, provided they're not alcoholic. But some of us think we should not serve liquor to anyone. We never argue this question. We feel that each family, in the light of their own circumstances, ought to decide for themselves. We are careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution. And we shouldn't, this is a powerful line, it says, I shouldn't show intolerance or hatred of anything, right? Love and tolerance is our code. So I should be tolerant of everything and never be hateful, especially drinking as an institution. Remember the warning label that AA said they should put on every bottle, remember? It says this bottle will run out. Anybody get that? Warning. They want to put a warning label on alcohol. It will run out. Experience shows that such an attitude is not helpful to anyone. Now, you see, if we're going to be of service, then I should never be intolerant and never be hateful. And so this is another theme of the book. Love and tolerance is our code. Every new alcoholic looks for the spirit among us and is immensely relieved when he finds we are not witch burners. A spirit of intolerance might repel alcoholics whose lives could have been saved. And I think we have to be careful at the meetings that we project this attitude of love and tolerance to everyone so they feel comfortable here. AA should always be a safe place for the alcoholic. Amen. And we should be careful. Sometimes there's squabbles in AA. Have you ever heard of that? And people get, stewing about this and that. We have to remember our real purpose here is to be love and tolerant to each other and especially to the new alcoholics. Had it not been for such stupidity, we would not even do the cause of temperate drinking any good, for not one drinker in 1,000 likes to be told anything about alcohol by one who hates it. Someday we hope that Alcoholics Anonymous will help the public to a better realization of the gravity of the alcoholic problem, but we shall be of, and I think they have, I think Alcoholics Anonymous has given the world the 12 steps. The 12 steps are a spiritual path to God. Spiritual principles of living that have always been around, but they're put very well written in the book, the big book. The problem of alcoholism is still misunderstood by health professionals, but they know they can send them to AA. Yes. And they know that this is a place where good things might happen to the person. And AA has never been criticized publicly in press, radio, or films because we have no opinion, right? And AA doesn't, you don't see, I say this, you don't see people outside of AA meetings in LA filming the celebrities, the paparazzi, you never see that. AA is very well respected because of the way we are. We don't have opinions and we are a place where people can go and get spiritual help. And so as long as we, and that's why the traditions are so important, because we keep that, and that's what ties us together. And it says, but we shall be of little use if our attitude is one of bitterness and hostility. And then I wrote, to who or to anyone? And if I'm bitter or hostile, that attitude is of very little use to who? Me. So when I'm hostile, bitter, intolerant, or hatred, who am I harming? Myself. And I can't be of service to anyone. And one of my regrets is that I was intolerant and hateful and bitter for a long time, and I didn't even realize it. And drinkers will not stand for it. Now, this is in italics. After all, our problems were of our own making. Now, I wrote, all of our problems are of our own making. Mm-hmm. Now, how can that be? Bad things happen. Circumstances happen. So what is he saying? This guy is crazy. Circumstances are circumstances. I'm the only one who calls it a problem. And I'll always call it a problem if I see it self-centered. But if I say the serenity prayer and I ask God to give me the serenity to see the situation, then it doesn't have to be a problem anymore. It's just something I have to accept or I have to have courage to change. And so I don't have problems anymore. Now I do. I think we all do. Now, why do I have problems? Because I decide something's a problem. So then I have to stop and say, well, Michael, there you go again. It's not a problem. It's a situation. And then I have to say, God, what do I need to do here? How do I need to look at this? It says bottles were only a symbol. A symbol of what? Our spiritual malady, our separation from God, and really our sinful nature that the scriptures talk about. Alcohol was a symbol of it because that was our solution. It says, besides, we have stopped fighting anybody or anything. We have to. Why do we have to? Why do we have to stop fighting anybody or anything? Because we're fighting anybody or anything. We're back in ourselves. We're in conflict with the world. And then we don't feel good. And it says, we have to. Then I wrote a few things here. I wrote, intolerance or hatred never show. Remember, love and tolerance is our code. To be intolerant and hateful is an attitude that's not helpful. And I wrote that attitude is everything, right? We say that at meetings, right? Mm-hmm. So do we have an attitude of gratitude? Do we have an attitude of being loving, kind, patient, tolerant, considerate, compassion? Are we intolerant with those who relapse? We gossip a lot in AA. Am I the only one? AA is like a little gossip town. And we say, this one went out, or this one did this, you know? And we have to remember that that's us. We are all the same. We should not be intolerant. We should always be warm and welcoming. We have to be like the father and the prodigal son, with our arms open for the man who comes out of the pig pen and says, I want to go home. And remember, God was loving and tolerant to us, wasn't he?
Yes.
He opened his arms to all of us. Mm-hmm. Nicole described today how she decided to seek God in a different life and all the things that have happened to you. And so, and then I wrote, attitude is the key. So we finished the first 103 pages. And next week, come and we'll pick up and we'll have some really good stuff on step 12. So we're going to open it up. We have time to discuss. Congratulations on the birthday. Welcome to the new people. And then remember, Wednesday night, it's going to be really good. We're looking at doctor's opinion. What's wrong with us? So thank you, everybody.